When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 230. It's Masters Week.
It's not really, is it?
It's Masters Week. Yeah. It is Masters Week as this podcast is going
correct.
Out. We're just recording this just the weekend, just before the weekend.
Why?
Because I will be on a plane probably about now.
Yeah.
As everyone's listening to this podcast, whether you're out for a run, in the gym, taking the dog for a walk, in your car on your commute to work, I will be on a plane on my way to Augusta.
Hence why I'm doing this podcast a couple of days earlier. The audience won't know. It goes out the normal time, 12 o'clock midnight on Tuesday morning, and then 12 p.m. lunchtime on YouTube. But yeah, this is a couple of days earlier because, like you said, you're going to the Masters again. Again.
Very lucky. Very lucky.
How many times is this now?
Well, this will be my third time. The first time I ever went was 2018, and it was me and my pal Neil, and we did it the hard way. The real hard way.
Is there a hard way?
Yeah, there is. Because really, the way to get tickets is through the ballot, and you've got to... It's quite hard. Mm. To get tickets to the Masters is hard. The reason why I did it the hard way, it was a bit last minute. A friend of mine... Did I ever tell you this story? So a friend of mine, Neil, he won a trip to Bermuda.
I remember this.
Via... A work sales trip that he won. He was a great salesman. He won this trip to Bermuda. And his wife, and coincidentally my wife at the time, were both heavily pregnant with our third child, respectively. So his wife couldn't go. So he said, Rick, do you fancy going to Bermuda? I said, yeah, when is it? He said, like, second week of April. I said, second week of April, you say? So...
You both left your heavily pregnant wives.
We both left at home our heavily pregnant wives. And we put together a very... And you listen, I am last minute. You know I'm last minute. This was extremely last minute. In 2018...
What a year.
It was a great year. And there was lots and lots going on. So we had this lovely flight and everything arranged to Bermuda. So the plan was Manchester, Bermuda, back home, done. That's the trip, okay? And I was going as his significant other.
Yep.
Okay? In replacement of his wife. But then we were like, what about if we took a little detour, maybe a week earlier, a few days earlier, and instead of that flight going from Manchester to Bermuda, what about if it just happened that we diverted our agenda?
Conveniently.
5 or 6 days earlier and actually ended up in Augusta. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What about if that happened? And anyway, we managed to get that through his company. So the company sorted out all the flights. So it was like, right, it's my job now to try and get tickets. Okay. It's really, really hard. Now I've got a contact who I can't name on this podcast because actually the way I acquired tickets was first off very, 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 very expensive.
Right.
We got two tickets to the Sunday of the Masters 2018, okay? And this particular contact, let's say, knows a few ex-champions.
Okay.
Now, these ex-champions have an allocation of tickets each year.
And they just go...
Just and they little bit of backhanding, a little bit of brown envelope going on.
Wow.
We paid, well, I paid because I said, right, you've done really well, Neil. You've won this trip to Bermuda. I'll cover the tickets to the Masters.
5 million grand later.
Honestly, outrageously expensive for two tickets. So anyway, we're excited. We went a couple of days earlier. We actually also went to this kind of hospitality house which sits outside the grounds of Augusta, and to be honest, that was an amazing day. I think we went on the Friday or maybe the Saturday. I think it was the Saturday, and it was a horrible day, weather, and actually this was a mad story. This hospitality house, you pay to enter it, okay? Mm-hmm. And once you're into this, and it's massive. And who lives in there at the most? I don't think it's even a house properly. It's just, it's 5 minutes away from Magnolia Drive, if that, walking. And you go into this house, and it's, once you paid entry to get in, and then again, that's not particularly cheap, everything's free.
It's like a house inside, though.
It's like a house, but it's not really. It would have been many, many years ago, it would have been a house. On this particular road, I actually think it's called Magnolia Drive. Mm. Magnolia Lane is the actual road into Augusta. I think it's called Magnolia Drive, which is opposite. And down this road, there's loads of these houses that just aren't houses. I bet they've not got bedrooms in or anything. They've just been converted into these hospitality houses. So we went to this one. And all day, you've got literally 100 screens everywhere in this house. You've got a little putting green out the back garden with a few Scotty Camerons. You had cigars literally on tap. You had these cigars, just literally, there was just boxes of cigars. You had unlimited drinks, unlimited food, people serving you all day.
What?
We had an absolute blast. I think we got in there at maybe 8 a.m. By 10 a.m., we were rocking. We were rocking. And it was a bit of a crappy day. And actually, what was mad about that, I've actually forgot about this happened. About midday, again, we'd had quite a few sherbets at this point. We were enjoying ourselves. It was horrible weather. We were watching a bit of golf, but it was very delayed. Tommy Fleetwood's caddy, Finno, mm-hmm. Ian Finnis, text me and said, "Hey, Rick, I know you're in town. We've got two spare tickets to come in today. Oh. Do you want to come in?" And we actually said no.
Oh my God.
We actually said
no. So you could stay in this place?
Because we had paid a lot of money to go in this place.
Yeah, but.
And we were going the next day, and the weather was honestly. Fair dude,
you
want
to save
crap.
It for the proper day.
Yeah, so we ended up having this amazing day. So that was the first time. The slight disappointment of that story. Once we went to Augusta next day, it was amazing. One day there, it was absolutely incredible. Where we had to save money, we ended up staying in a hotel chain, and Americans will know this, called a Howard Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Sounds a bit like dodgy, that.
Howard Johnson's hotel.
The size of his Howard Johnson.
These Howard Johnsons aren't particularly... of maybe an ilk of a hotel that I would vacate in. And so we're in this Howard Johnson. We get up on that Sunday, hungover like hell, honestly, because after that day on the Saturday, get over to the Masters. It's a beautiful day. We're at epic finish. You had Ricky Fowler up there. You had Jordan Spieth contending. You had everything going on. And Patrick Reed won. That's the end of that story. Patrick Reed won the first ever Masters.
Well, you have, obviously, that was your first trip that you obviously hold very... The thing is as well, what's different to now is back then in 2018, when you were wet behind the ears, is that the phrase?
Yeah.
You could do that. You could go, you know what, I'm going to go away for 10 days now. And what, yeah, maybe you had 300,000 subscribers at the time. Now, you can't really do that. You have to go on these trips more organised.
Well, now I've gone on the trip that I went on last year. No more Howard Johnsons for me, guy. No. So my very good friends, Mercedes-Benz, invited me and Seb last year to basically their hospitality experience. They almost hire this village out. Wow. I won't say what it's called because that's where I'm staying. But they hire this almost village out. You can imagine if you're a resident near Augusta, I bet once a year you're like, here we go.
Mm.
Here we go, everyone. That new extension's going to get paid for by our lovely friends who hire our house out.
Correct.
So we stayed in this amazing village. We got chauffeur driven into the grounds every single day, down Magnolia Lane, hospitality house on site, tickets every day. Obviously got the experience of playing the golf course last Monday, which is out of this world. This year, Mercedes-Benz have invited me and Seb back.
You nearly said me and Guy
sorry,
there.
Sorry,
no, that's not me. No Seb, tears, Seb's
down
there instead.
Down your face. So me and Seb back. Really looking forward to it. We are there's loose conversations with Augusta National about potentially limited content that we could potentially make there. Very, very limited. Obviously, we've got to do it on their terms and conditions, but there's been some exciting conversations taking place. I don't want to promise anyone on the podcast that anything will ever get filmed there because obviously they hold the keys, the tickets.
Well, obviously, we are super excited for the Masters. Different reasons. You're going to be there on site and obviously see it up close and personal. Will you be there for every day?
So we fly on the Tuesday and I will be on site Wednesday to Sunday.
Does,
so every day.
When you're there every day, does it start to kind of wear off its magic or does it still stay the same each day?
I think because there's so much of the place that you want to visit. So different strategy this year. Okay, very different strategy. Wednesday is a really cool day. You can take your phones in. Mm-hmm. You can take cameras in. You can take pictures. Apparently you're not allowed to share them with this, that and the other, but you can soak some of it in on your phone, which is really, really cool. You've got the Par 3 tournament.
Yes.
So Par 3 tournament. I mean, I would love to play at Par 3 course. It is out of this world. And it's a very fun vibe. You've got families, you've got kids, you've got wives being caddies.
Little boiler suits.
Yeah, it's really, really cool experience. It doesn't feel like the very next day is going to be the biggest tournament of the year. It's quite crazy, actually.
It is.
It almost feels like that event should take place after the Masters as almost like a celebration. But obviously, traditionally, it takes place on the Wednesday. For me this year, Wednesday is a really important day. I'm getting there early.
Autograph hunting.
I'm getting there early. And I raided the store last time.
You did?
Like, ridiculously raided the gift shop. However, throughout the week, there was a lot of merchandise that I saw other people wearing that was no longer available.
You were too late.
Too late for the party. Wednesday might be too late. There was loads of really cool caps, like caps that said like Azalea or Amen, things like that. And I was like, oh, I didn't get them. What's mad, hopefully this doesn't put anyone in trouble. You had, the whole service is so incredible. In the toilets, in the restrooms, you have staff in there, okay? And they are always unbelievably friendly. And their main job is to keep morale up and keep the line moving.
Right. Okay. Keep morale up in the toilet.
Yeah, honestly.
You can do this. Come on, push, push, push. Come on, yeah.
So you can imagine at a sporting event, the queues for the toilets are horrendous. I actually enjoyed queuing up for the toilets there. I think you would. I know you're a big toilet.
I love a good toilet.
They'll come in and it's like, hey guys, wheeze to your right, poos to your left, number one's to the right, number two's to the
left.
Don't
sneeze, which one do I do that?
But it'd be like, it's flowing. It's like, hey man, have a great day. Make sure you wash your hands. And it's just, honestly, it's an experience. But also, it's a business empire, okay? Right. Because these members of staff there aren't daft.
Little tips.
Tips is one big thing.
Yeah.
What they did, and I almost summoned to this, but I don't think I had cash on me. They're clever. On the Monday, have a guess what they do? They go and buy all the caps that might be a little bit hard to get.
And they sell them in the toilet.
And they're wearing them in the toilets. And after a few brewskis, patrons go, hey, I like your hat. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah. And the
4 million grand.
Yeah.
Done.
How much can I buy it off you for? $100. Done.
Oh, my days. So you're going to be that guy this time.
And then you think, well, I'll be the guy in the toilet selling hats. Yeah. But then you think, well, actually, that might be his only hat. Oh, no.
Got another one.
He's got many.
Oh, wow.
That guy's got plenty. So hopefully I've not snitched anyone up there. But listen, it's the deep dark secret.
There's going to be a guy with like 12 hats on when you go in. No, we have had some questions from our Facebook group because obviously I'm sure everybody's super excited for the Masters. It is this week. Is the opening major of the year. Speaking of opening major, it's always funny, isn't it, when you'll see it now loads on social media when brands like launch a Master Edition golf bag or shoes or polo, and they obviously can't call it the Master Edition. It's like open season opener or opening major. Basically means they can't use the Master's name. However, we've had loads of questions on the Facebook group. A lot of them around a play in Augusta. Rick, obviously you have played Augusta, which not many people can say. Nick Searle has said, having played Augusta, what does Rick think is the toughest hole and why? And there's a few things on that course being tough, so maybe don't elaborate too much on other things, but what do you think is the toughest hole and why is that?
I think the toughest hole is actually the first.
Because of the pressure and the nerves.
Because of, it is. It's not like, the old course, okay,
mm-hmm.
is a different type of first tee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the old course, it's like, you have got one of the biggest fairways in the world to aim at. And it doesn't matter if you thin one, doesn't matter. You can hit any club off the first old course, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Can it drive?
You could literally putt it if you wanted to.
If you wanted to hit chip it off that first tee, you could. I wouldn't, but you could. With Augusta, it's a similar feeling, but you have to hit a good tee shot.
Mm.
Like, there's trees right, there's trees left, there's a massive bunker up the right hand side. The fairway drops down and kind of sweeps back up. So you have to hit a good, long, straight drive to start your round. Well, like you say, old course, you can kind of get away with anything. Yeah,
as long as you don't shank an iron off the first, you're fine, aren't you?
So standing there, like, genuinely as nervous as I've ever been in my entire life, looking down at the pristine tee box, putting my tee peg in the ground and my ball on the tee, and standing there and thinking, this is potentially once in a lifetime opportunity. Mm-hmm. This is the one time I'm going to stand on here. Hopefully it's not, but maybe it is. I'm going to stand here on this tee, and all the pressure and all the excitement and everything, all the build up, because that first shot, that means then you've played Augusta.
Mm, yeah.
That first shot symbolizes I've hit a golf shot.
Yeah.
I've played a shot at Augusta.
Yeah.
And it means something, doesn't it?
Mm.
So stood up there with driver. I mean, thankfully for me, and I honestly don't know how I actually did it, I hit a very, very, very satisfying, pleasing, beautiful driver shot that left side of the fairway. I was over the moon. I really, really was. So that was an experience. God,
sorry, I've got a question for you off the back of that.
As a golf hole, the one that all I could think about after that first tee shot was the 12th.
Well, we'll come on to that in a moment. But just on that then, when you said then about hitting a tee shot on the first, what would you do, right, and this, you've played it now, so you don't have to worry about this. If it was your first time and maybe your only time playing Augusta, and you played 14 holes and it got called off through lightning, and there was no way of getting on again that day or on the rest of your trip, could you hand on heart then tell people you've played Augusta, knowing that there's an asterisk next week, there was only 14 holes?
Like anything with an asterisk is hard, isn't it?
That's what I mean.
Anything with an asterisk.
Because that will have happened in media days have gone by when people definitely. Have played on a Monday and it did got through 9 or 12 or even 17 and for some reason something's happened.
I remember when Eric Anders Langer, when I was at 2018 Masters, and Eric Anders Langer, I've done videos with it in the past, he was picked out of the media ballot and got to play it the next day. Now, it was an amazing experience, I'm sure, and he's talked about it, and I've spoke to him about it, but it was a wet, kind of horribly dark day. And it's like, imagine, like you say, there's been many times, more recently, I would say, where the weather is very unpredictable at that time of year in Augusta.
Mm.
Like, there's amount of times, like, trees were falling down last year, for God's sake. Like, that, the weather in parts was really, really bad. It put a lot of stress on me and Seb for that week, because we were like, if this rolls to a Monday finish, that's it.
Do you
we're
think,
not playing
can
it.
Can you enjoy this one more than last year then? Not even have to think about the Monday. Is it going to happen? What am I going to do? Am I going to play well? Now you go in though. And I've played this course before.
Yeah. Like I say, at the moment, there is definitely no... I've not been told, not guaranteed that we're playing that on Monday at all whatsoever. If anything, it's not going to happen. So you're right. I'm going into it with a bit more like, okay, I'm actually just going to enjoy the Masters now and actually enjoy the golf course. And there's again, after, once you've been once, you start to realise, well, actually, where do I want to go and sit and watch golf?
Yeah.
You know, a couple of strategies, like I've bought a couple of the green chairs that everyone buys in the gift shop, in the pro shop. Never put a chair down. I want to put a chair down like near 18th green this year and have my name written on the back of it, or 16th, near 16th, the par three, and go, that's my base. I'm gonna sit here and just watch golf all day.
I can't work out if I absolutely love the whole thing with a chair that you leave it and that's your chair, or hate it.
No, mate, it's the best.
But do people not just get there dead early, chuck the chair down, then like the old sunbeds on holiday and put your towel down and bugger off all day?
But it's okay if you go and sit on their chair.
Oh, right. So I didn't... Okay.
Yeah,
I think you might have said that, actually.
So if there is a bunch of chairs...
I see Rick Shields' chair. There's no Rick Shields in it.
I'll sit in it.
And then when you come back, get out my chair.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair then. I take that back.
Yeah, because I think it's a good system in that regard.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
And typically you'll ask people round, go, all right, do you know if these chairs are being taken? They'll go, oh, we've not seen them for an hour. Oh, yeah. Great, we'll sit down. If they say, oh, they've just nipped to the toilet or the
There's
bar,
no point.
We'll go and sit somewhere else.
That's interesting. Well, Andrew Green has asked us, which hole does Rick think is more nerve-wracking, the 12th at Augusta or the 17th at Sawgrass? But maybe before you answer that one of the videos I watched last year, I was looking now, it's on Golf Digest YouTube channel, had nearly 1 million views. It was called The Genius Trick of Augusta National's 12th Hole. And I think we might have mentioned this last year, but I always knew the 12th hole was a tough hole. You see so many golfers go in the water, but didn't really understand the kind of concept behind it. And that video explains it really well. And in a nutshell, for a right-handed golfer, the green kind of goes shorter from the left and then further out on the right. So if you pull a shot, you'd miss the green long left. If you block the shot, you'd go short in the water. Whereas for a lefty, it's the opposite way around. So it's an easier hole for a lefty, isn't it?
There is so much talk about it being such a more prominent golfer for a left-hander.
Yeah, the whole course.
Yeah, and you actually look at the evidence. Mike Weir won the Masters, kind of somewhat out of nowhere. Phil Mickelson won it twice.
Yeah.
Bubba Watson's won it twice. I'm trying to think of other left-handers who've won it, but they're the ones to me that strike me as like, straight away you've got multiple Masters winners that are left-handed.
Three Masters, God.
You know, for me, the 12th is a perfect symbol of that. And also, it's why they've also said Jordan Spieth does really well around there, because his miss is very much suited to that kind of green structures. Mm. I can't quite remember. I think the only hole that doesn't suit him is the 12th, actually.
Yeah.
The 12th is nerve-wracking, only because, again, it's not for the sense of the hole is hard. It's not. I think when I played it, it was 150 yards. So it's longer than Sawgrass. I think I was in an 8 or a 9 iron in. I think I hit a 9 iron from memory. It's the fact, again, getting one chance at this. Mm. And you might only get one chance at Sawgrass, don't get me wrong. But you could get another chance at Sawgrass.
Yeah.
Couldn't, like, it's not out the realms of possibility.
Well, certainly you could. That's the difference.
But you can actually pay to play Sawgrass.
Yeah.
It's outrageously expensive, don't get me wrong. It's $900 for a green fee.
I suppose what I mean by that is you could realistically play Sawgrass whenever. The average person, although in theory could play Sawgrass whenever, it's so expensive it probably is still a once-in-a-lifetime. But then Augusta's like a none-in-a-lifetime, isn't it? It's weird.
So you stand up on that hole, and because it's so iconic and it's beautiful, it's got like a... almost a 100-yard fairway, which obviously almost never gets used apart from when someone dunks it in the water. You've got the, the stream's name slipped my
Bobby
mind.
Is it Bobby Jones or something?
Oh, God, what's the stream called? I keep wanting to say Swilken. You've got the stream that's running diagonally, which from the tee doesn't look very big or wide.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really wide. When you actually get up onto the bridge, that stream, what's it called?
I'm trying to find it now.
Creek. Something
Ben
Creek.
Hogan Bridge. Raise Creek.
So you've got Raise Creek there, and it looks from the tee, because you're level with the green and you're level with the water, it looks like it's not, it just looks like a little...
Yeah, you can see online, it is quite chunky, isn't it?
But actually from the side view, certainly when you're crossing over that bridge, it's a decent, like...
It is.
You can just slightly fat it and you are in that water, because you'll hit the bank. The other mad things as well with that hole is a bit like, let's say Sawgrass. Again, crazy way of thinking about this. You can actually hit a mediocre shot at Sawgrass, find the green, and the ball can actually end up closer to the hole.
Yeah.
Because it's got three different layers, Sawgrass. It's got a front tier, it's got a back tier, it's got a right tier as well. With the 12th of Augusta, you don't get any help. Like, once the ball lands on the green, that's where it is. Like, it's not going to go closer to the hole. And that's why there's hardly any ever hole-in-ones at Augusta.
No, that's true.
On the 12th hole, because you really have to almost land it on the green.
Whereas 16, it can feed in, can't it?
16, you see loads. It's like 16 is nowhere near as scary, because where you're trying to hit it to is so much bigger.
Yeah.
You've got such a bigger buffer to aim at. And that's where, again, certainly for the Sunday pin, which, again, I was lucky enough to play when I played, they were all Sunday pins. You hit that towards the middle of the green, and everything, all the ground... roll is going to get you closer to the hole. So 12 is one of those holes that it's so iconic. And I think when people, you know, if I have mentioned it in comment, which, you know, I probably do 7 times a day, and I've played the golf course, often the question is, how did you play on 12? It's quite a common kind of response.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
People want to know, a bit like Sawgrass, how'd you get on the 17?
Another question for you, and this might end up being a YouTube clip, one of the short clips that we put out on the YouTube channel. If you're not watching the podcast, come and watch it on the Rick Shields Golf Show on YouTube. So this question is, you've played Augusta Rick, so you have knowledge of this. You could totally give a qualified answer. From Dan Barreto, having played it last year, Rick, what do you think the average 18 handicapper shoots around Augusta National? Let's go for Monday after the Masters. 18 handicapper is paired with you. You're playing it again. Realistically, what you're having them shoot?
I drove the ball that day tremendously well.
But have you played it?
I drove the ball tremendously well that day. I
you got your scorecard to hand, haven't you? Little flex.
I shot 82.
Okay.
So I shot 10 over par, and I genuinely drove the ball tremendously well.
And how close to that was the competition tees? Was it like a bit?
It was definitely
forward,
shorter,
but
yeah.
Not crazy or...
It's hard to tell because it's almost like... On the scorecard, it says it's like 1,000 yards shorter.
All right,
so it's quite a lot, really. But it was hard to tell. Caveat that, I had a triple bogey on the 13th.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of holes I parred, which I didn't expect to. So for me, an 82 off my handicap, and everyone's obviously seen on YouTube how I play, I think that's me on a normal golf course. If I was playing the way I drove the golf ball that day, if I was playing any other golf course of similar length or longer, I would have comfortably shot closer to 72.
Question then, out of that, if you could rank it out of 10, how much of that was how difficult the course is? Is that because it's like a 7 out of 10 difficulty versus how much of that out of 10 was it because of the fact that, oh my God, I'm playing Augusta National?
There's a bit of that, but for me, again, I kind of luckily got over that pretty well because I was driving it well. I also was very, 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 very fortunate on a couple of occasions where I hit a bad shot and if I would have hit it 2 yards further left or right, it would have rolled down off the green but it clung on. Like, there's many times where I look at some of these holes, this could have been a lot worse. Mm. Like, this could have easily been closer to 90, even if I drove the ball as good as I did do. So for me, that's almost as good a score as I could have shot on that day.
Let me just caveat this then. Same question. You've got a four ball. You're playing Augusta on Monday. You've got a four ball behind you. Is it three balls you go out in? It's
three.
Three. You've got three.
Four. Sorry, what's four?
You've got a four ball behind you, right? And they're all 18 handicappers. So first question, which was Dan's, what do you think they're going to shoot? With that then, realistically, how confident would you be to say, for example, I would bet my house on the fact that none of them would break 80, for example? How confident would you be in the scores?
If I played it on that, if I played it again, I would, and again, if I drove it as good as that day, I would almost guarantee I could break 80.
Okay.
Off the tees I played off.
Yep.
I think an 18 handicapper, honestly, the greens are so hard.
Mm. I'm intrigued. What are you going to say? Yeah.
I would say I don't think a single 18 handicapper would, four of them, I don't think out of any of them, they'd shoot. I don't think they'd shoot the handicap playing better ball.
Oh my days.
Is my honest opinion.
So not breaking 100.
Because I think so many of them genuinely would have 10, multiple 10s on their scorecards.
Would you be willing to bet a good amount of money that none of them could break 100?
Yeah.
110?
I think they could get 110.
Yeah.
Under 110. I don't think an 18 handicapper would break 100. I would bet a lot of money on it. Because I honestly, my worst score was an 8, and that was a very frustrating 8. I could imagine many, honestly, standard average golfers would have multiple 10s on their scorecard. Because it's easy to do.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do. I think I maybe 3-putted 2 or 3 times. I can imagine, again, an 18 handicapper, 4-5 putting comfortably.
And then take it one step further. If they did put off the very, very, very bad tournament tees, that's going to be a crazy
number. I don't think 82 off the members tees, if I was playing off the tournament tees, I think I would be happy to break 90.
Yeah.
I really would. I reckon it would have added eight more shots on. And don't forget, I drove it well. Like, I really did drive it unbelievable that day.
Don't you think, though, that we've said this before, but if every single major you had a group at the start who so went out, good. Have a scratch handicapper, maybe a 9, 18 and 28, and just see how they do in tournament conditions.
Yeah.
Because that would really... I always think that when I'm watching an event, like say if Scotty Scheffler shoots 69 and it's 3 under par, like, oh, you know, you played well today. Yeah. Like, that isn't 3 under par around our local course, no. Is it? It's like 8, 9, 10 under. Like, what would an average golfer shoot? I think that's why so many people are fascinated by it.
It'd be so good to get a group out. You know, like you say, on the first day.
It'd be so funny.
It would be amazing. But it'd almost have to be, but it's really difficult because you're not, unfortunately, not being able to test that person in that situation because the nerves would just be astronomical. So it's almost, you wouldn't be able to do it almost.
Would you like another question?
I would love another
question. This is a good one. It's from Tyler. And I'm sorry, Tyler, your surname is quite difficult to pronounce. It's T-E-R-L-O-U-W. So I'm going to go for Turlow, potentially. Tyler Turlow. He said, Rick, top 5 things about it. So maybe let's go with... You have a bit of a mix between actually Augusta itself and playing Augusta. So the Masters Tournament, should I say, sorry, and Augusta. So your top 5 things. But then one thing that would really surprise somebody attending for the first time. And another thing as well, one thing you'd change. So first of all, what's your top 5 things about Augusta National / the Masters?
Top 5 things?
Yes.
Food and beverage.
Yes.
Like, it's really, really good and unbelievably cheap.
Well, quickly then, Joe Timpley has asked us, is the Masters food worth the hype? So I'm guessing you're answering this question now.
But it's not, listen, you're not going to eat it and go, oh my God, that's literally the best food I've ever eaten. It's not.
Mm.
But for the price... And considering they're making so much of that food, it's actually brilliant. And it's perfect food for watching a golf tournament. It's like they have it in little bags and you can open it up. And you've seen the cups.
Yeah.
Like you get those green cups. I think greens, maybe for alcoholic drinks, and white ones are for soft drinks.
What colour your cup be this year then? That's a question.
One in each hand. I might treat myself to a little Friday sesh.
Okay.
So... Sensible Wednesday, Thursday. Let my hair down Friday. Big night out in Augusta.
Yeah.
Little lion on Saturday. Yeah. Watch the rest of the golf Saturday. Go on Sunday. That's my plan.
So food is good.
Food is really, really good.
Or there's something else that you like.
I do think the merch tent is incredible.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, that's not cheap.
No.
The merch tent is not cheap. But they've got everything. Like... When I went to the Ryder Cup last year, I said to you, I was really disappointed with the merch tent.
The variety. Oh.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know if I've ever told you a story. After I'd bought a load of stuff at the merch tent, I didn't want to carry it around. This was at Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right outside was and I want to get this company correct, FedEx delivery company. Okay. Mm-hmm. I went over with my bag of swag, some really nice stuff that I bought, gave it to the FedEx. It still never arrived.
Oh, wow.
I've had an email saying that they can't deliver it. Anyway, so the merch tent.
Okay, merch tent.
For the amount of variety they've got is incredible. Number three.
Yeah.
The most random thing ever. Okay. The phone booths.
And does that link into not having phones as well then? Or is that...
I am going to throw in one of the bonuses is I'm not having mobile phones at the Masters. That is a massive, honestly, you're so present. You're not watching it through a screen. I'm not checking anything. You're so present. There's downsides to that. I'll come to that in a minute. But what's really cool, like the phone boxes that are on site, packed. People, what are you ringing? Quietly. I mean, Seb, you don't have to pay for it.
That's wow.
You literally pick up and you ring a number.
That's really cool.
Seb, who I was with, literally just rang his dad because he wanted to say, "Hi, Dad, I'm at Augusta."
Why
and
not?
Maybe that's what most people are doing, but that's really, really random. But I think it's such a cool touch.
Would you class that as one then you'd class as surprising somebody for the first time?
Yeah.
I think that would surprise me.
The queue for him. the thing that would surprise people for the first time is the efficiency of the toilet queues.
I want to try that.
Right. Game changer.
Yeah, maybe a little vlog in the toilet.
I was thinking there's more. I can't take anything, can I?
Monday vlog.
The only thing, I mean, the only slight downside of that, you've got to showcase to everyone whether you are having a number one or number two.
Mm.
It's like, number one's in this line, number two's in this line. You kind of go,
That cheese
pimento sandwich went right through me. The phone booths are really, really cool. Genuinely, the crowd, the patrons.
The vibe.
Yeah. I think that's a real positive because it can be seen as a positive and a negative. And let me explain. When you go to the Open, mm-hmm. okay, the Open always gets complimented for its standard of crowd.
Golfing knowledge.
That's the right description. Like
they'll clap a shot to 30 foot away.
Yeah, because they appreciate that it's a good shot. However, that's what the professionals see at an event like that, don't they?
Mm.
Okay. You and me, we've seen a different type of fan that goes to the Open.
We've seen the Rickies, haven't we?
Plenty of them.
Mm.
That go to get absolutely blottoed.
Yeah.
And they don't watch a single golf shot, do they?
No.
Let's be honest. Like, how many people, we've seen them.
They'll
like,
just go into hospitality and just drink all day.
They are. They wouldn't even, they've not even seen a single live Correct. Golf shot, but they're there at the Open. So, that's got double-edged positives and negatives on that.
Yeah.
You don't get that at the Masters.
Is the Masters full of, like, people in car keys and little quarter zips who are a bit, like, American? I don't mean that in a bad way, but, like, you know what I mean?
Do you mean about car keys?
I've got some car keys.
Oh,
up.
Car keys, pants.
Yeah. Oh, not car keys. Do you
I
think
you meant
actual car keys?
That type of
no,
place.
No. But like, you know, a bit I mean, like American, thing. Like kind of frat boy, a bit. I don't know what the word is.
It
might not be the right phrase, frat boy.
It isn't. It's not. I think people
like corporate-y maybe is what I'm looking for. And
I would describe it as, and I've not been to enough race courses to be able to maybe comment on this, but I would say it's the difference between the crowd at like Royal Ascot.
Right.
Is more like the Masters.
Okay.
And the crowd at Ladies Day.
With the Open.
Ladies Day at Aintree.
The Open and, is the Open. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you go, maybe Ladies Day Aintree is like the Waste Management. Yeah?
Yeah.
Where the Grand National at Haydock, is it Haydock? Grand National.
Aintree.
Is that Aintree as well?
Yeah. Next day. But that you're right. The Ladies Day is a bit.
So yeah, you see what I mean. So like for me, the Masters crowd is a little bit more Royal Ascot. And I suppose a little bit more to do, like mm-hmm. a little bit more dressed appropriately, you know, smart, not going there slamming Jaeger bombs and getting off the trolley.
Yeah, I get it.
Negatives is the fact you can't communicate.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like if you're trying to meet anybody, impossible. Like if once you're on site, you can't meet anyone.
And that obviously I've not been to the Masters yet and, you know, hope to one day. But that's one thing I kind of have mixed opinions on as someone that's not been because in one way, like you said before, it's great that you're not just yourself, but you're in the moment, everybody else around you is, and it's quite a weird sensation, I can imagine, to be in a place of tens of thousands of people and no one's glued to a phone. Because in today's society, everyone's glued to a phone.
So weird.
But then at the same time, it's like, how many things, like, you know, I personally use my phone to pay for everything. You might as well text your family, make sure everything's okay. You know, even take a few pictures. Like you said, meet somebody. It doesn't, you don't have to be on it all the time. And if, I don't know, I kind of, I can't work out if I like it or I don't.
I know, it's really, really, really difficult. It would be, yeah, because a bit like the Open again, and I'm comparing it to the Open a lot because maybe some of my listeners might have been to the Open and not the Masters, etc. But like, I see the Open as a very social experience where you do say, oh, let's meet up after, give me your number and I'll text you later and we'll go meet up in the Open Arms for a beer or whatever. Or we do a lot of business at the Open. Like when we go to the Open, we'll have ad hoc meetings or we'll meet with partners or like you can arrange things. If you're running a bit late, mate, I'll be 10 minutes late. I'm on the other side of the golf course. It's hard to get there. The Masters, it's quite literal. Unless you run into someone, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like me and John Beasley went for the first time, a mate of mine who I carried for an Open qualifying a couple of years ago. He went with a group of his mates and he was going on the Sunday. And on the morning, I might have got up maybe about 7 o'clock or what, I can't remember now. I text him, hi pal, do you want to meet up today? And on the WhatsApp, unread, because I didn't realise he'd left at 6 a.m.
Oh, not to his phone. And left his phone. Not, yeah.
And I thought, there's no way on God's earth will I end up seeing him. Weirdly, we actually genuinely bumped into each other, almost passing by like 11 and 12. But there's so many people that go that you're just never, ever, ever going to meet
up
with.
Yeah, mixed thoughts on that.
I almost need, this time I'm actually going to take a little notepad and paper.
A little black book.
Again, just like, let's say, you, for me, as a from looking at more from a business standpoint, you do meet people there.
Get some business cards. Oh, it's too short notice.
I do actually have some old ones, you know, I found the other day.
Might just handwrite them all out, club them in. Have you got a last point? I think that's 4 points. Let's have one more. I think you could do one more, maybe. That you liked about the Masters and the Augusta. This can be more the golf course or...
I do like there's not many grandstands.
Yeah.
There are grandstands, but very, very limited. You can really see the golf course and you can actually get very close. There's just quite literally a piece of string between you and the golf, really. Where, again, maybe other tournaments, you see it now, it's like proper barriers, isn't there? Like, it's hard to get really, really close to the action now.
Correct. Okay, I've got one more question, I think, before we wrap this up. We are also, after this, we're going to record a Clubhouse episode of the podcast, which will go out on Friday for those hardcore listeners.
And I'll do my best this week while I'm... Well, let's jump on a Zoom call and maybe have, like, a... Maybe wild enough to say Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, God, I'm game. I'm here. I'm keen. This question, then, is from... and just before I come on to this question, actually, if you are listening on Apple or anything and want to, I'm going to say sponsor us. They're not sponsor us.
Why not?
Oh, you could sponsor me. Imagine if I got sponsored just in the podcast every week. No, rate us 5 stars, ideally. 5 stars is the one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
No point in 4. We've always said it's 5 or it's 1.
5 out of 10, I think we're really happy with.
Yeah, 50%. yeah, but anyway, this question is from Josh Wright. Bit different, Rick. Hi, both. Would love to get your opinions on what's needed to throw a Masters party. This year, my birthday's on the Saturday, and next year, my 30th birthday is on the Sunday, the final day of the Masters, 2025. I don't think I'll win the chance to be the next year. No, I mean, if I win by. So I'd like to bring the Masters to me. What are the 5 iconic things I would need to host the best Masters party? So I think when he says win the chance, he might be going to do like the ballot or something. Yeah. But either way, how does Josh Wright throw the best 29th and then 30th birthday party at home celebrating the Masters?
I think it's a couple of easy ones. Pimento cheese sandwiches.
Correct.
Okay.
Never had one. Don't know what pimento is. Is it a type of cheese?
It's like cheese and like something with it.
Would I like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on proper, basic, almost crap white bread.
Doesn't offend me.
That's right up your street.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I've always said that about guy.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's not like granary or it's like it's just white bread.
Yeah.
Proper bread.
I mean,
I would like at the party.
Yeah.
For him to exclusively wear a green jacket.
Love that. Beat me to it.
Green Masters jacket. I'm actually looking on eBay. You can actually buy them. They actually look pretty good. Why don't I buy one?
You won't be allowed in.
Yeah, but work. Who's going to say that I can't? I've got a green jacket on.
Very true. Tiger Woods.
What? Where the hell I wanted if I bought... There's a jacket online for £22.50. that could probably get me in everywhere.
Do it. So Josh Wright, he's having his birthday. He's got pimento sandwiches. He's got his own green jacket on. He needs three more things to make the perfect Masters party.
There is a drink, okay? And I might have drank a few last year. They're called azaleas.
Right.
Okay? And I'm going to get the ingredients now. These are just unbelievable day drinks, okay? Azalea drink ingredients, azaleas. So it includes vodka,
mm-hmm.
okay? Pineapple juice,
mm-hmm.
lemon juice, lemonade, and grenadine.
Ah, I remember you having this at an event one time.
And it's bright pink, like an azalea, and it's absolutely magnificent.
Okay.
Now, I don't know the measurements of each one of those things.
You'll work it out.
Look at it online. Azalea drinks is definitely a must-have.
Okay, so two more things for Josh Wright's perfect party.
I would love some sort of challenge, okay?
Okay.
As long as he doesn't live in a bungalow.
Yeah.
He lives in a house.
Yeah.
Get a really long AstroTurf putting green, okay?
Yeah.
And lay it down his stairs.
Okay.
Okay, from top to bottom. And at the bottom, have a little cup or a target or whatever, okay? And have a challenge. And if you can hole it down the steps and this, that, and the other and get it in the hole, then you win. You could potentially reclaim the green jacket off. Did you say it's called Josh?
Josh Wright.
So he could then, they become the new Masters champion.
That's good. And then the final thing for Josh Wright's perfect pie.
The biggest, and maybe even get one of those, like, have you seen those cool projectors you can get now?
Yeah.
Like really small and you can shine it on a wall. Get the biggest possible screen you possibly can ever buy or make and enjoy and watch every single minute of the Masters tournament.
What would he do if he, no, I won't say this sentence, it won't work. Anyway, yeah, that sounds good. I think that's a good Masters party. I think the best thing about that for Josh Wright, though, is, I don't know why I keep saying his full name, but I just quite like saying it, Josh Wright, is that when it is his 30th birthday on the Masters Sunday 2025, will he even need all those extra things? Because having your birthday, your 30th, with a few drinks in, and watching the Masters Sunday, maybe watching Tiger walk down the 18th about to get the green jacket again, how insane is that as a birthday?
How do you watch the Masters, Guy?
Unfortunately, not on the grounds of Augusta National.
Not yet.
Like the prawn sandwich brigade. I watch the Masters. Actually, I think what I love about the majors, and in particular the Masters, is that it's on in the evening, obviously. So it's on at a time where I can consume it. And nothing for me, well, stuff does beat the Open in some senses, but I love the Open now. It's on the day. And I think back to like the Peter Alice days, it just almost feels comforting to watch. The Masters is a bit different. It's on at night. But I feel like, I suppose with every golf tournament, but every shot counts, doesn't it, with the Masters? Because, you know, you want to watch every shot. It feels so meaningful. It's the first major of the year. I'm quite standard. I'm watching it on my TV. I love the Masters app as well. So you can watching bits that you've not seen, or you can
downloaded that yet.
I've not yet. I'm excited. You can nip out for a bit and then you can come back and you can see, right, well, I wanted to watch how whoever was doing. I can see the shots. I feel like because of that, you watch more golf or more golf that matters. You know, if Scottie Scheffler goes on a five-hole birdie run, which you probably end up will doing, you might see it on the TV. But again, if you missed it, you can watch it on the app. Very much a standard TV viewer, and it finishes at a good time for me. I'm in early bedtime normally, so the fact it's not crazy late.
It's on the right side of the US country, correct, isn't it, for us?
Yeah.
Unless it goes to a playoff, and it gets a bit late. But nothing, I feel like I remember it being much, much later.
Maybe
has the field got smaller? Yeah, maybe. Has the field got smaller? Or I always feel like it almost finished after midnight, but it doesn't really, does it?
I don't know.
The November one, I remember finishing annoyingly early.
Yeah, because that was...
They had to bring it much earlier. That was annoyingly early. I like it in the evening.
I am very much looking forward to this. And I think I say every year, but I think every year I look forward to it almost more. It feels like, maybe because the media and social media is getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time, it feels like it becomes even more important every time. Like, I almost can't believe that somebody's going to win the green jacket and either be a new Masters champion or another major winner. Or, you know, if Rory wins it, there's a great narrative there. If Scottie Scheffler wins it, that just solidifies him as just being the best since Tiger, potentially. I don't know. You know, if John Rahm wins it again, does that kind
of... Brooks, really?
Yeah, and his live story.
If Brooks won it, and that's six majors.
There's so much to kind of...
Imagine if Brooks won the Grand Slam before Rory. He doesn't do if he wins the Masters.
Oh, but if he wins the Open as well. Well, that's the thing. And then you've got, like, Ludwig. It's his first major. How's he going to perform? Wyndham Clark's obviously on form. There's so many different kind of storylines that... And I think with the field as well, how strong it actually is, it is really, really exciting. You often have a few amateurs have a couple of good days and they then become a bit of a narrative. So
you normally also get like on a Thursday, the first day is like someone from yesteryear who does really well. Like Bernard Lang has always done really well. Unfortunately, he's not been able to play this year. I'm hoping, obviously, he's a Mercedes-Benz ambassador. I'm actually going to spend some time with Bernard when I'm out in Augusta with Mercedes, which would be really cool as well. So hopefully get him on the podcast. But there's you do often get somebody who from yesteryear has done really well. Was it Sandy Lyles last year?
I think it was his last one last year. He's not on it this year, I don't believe. Great. Well, I wish you all the best. I hope you have a great time.
I'll play my best.
And I will see you in about 10 minutes when we do the Clubhouse episode. Well, not even 10 minutes, straight away after this. So that'll be out on Friday.
Yes.
Okay. Bye. You can put your little Masters scorecard holder away now.
Oops. Thanks. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.